Okay, next item on the agenda is item 5, Brian Rechtenbaugh, number 17-1334. Good morning, Ms. Peabody. How are you?
Good morning, Commissioner. I'm well.
Good.
So this was a project that was continued at the last meeting. So I will start with just briefly reviewing the application and then picking up from the continuance there.
Okay.
Mr. Brian Rechtenbaugh is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain fill within portions of jurisdictional wetlands and 150 linear feet of riprap revetment to aid in flood mitigation along a tributary to the southern branch Elizabeth River at his home on 700 Seagrass Reach in Chesapeake. This project requires a VMRC wetlands permit. Again, this is an after-the-fact authorization. So the location is on in a housing development off a tidal tributary to the southern branch Elizabeth River. And here you can see the applicant's home off Seagrass Reach. His property is very close to a marsh that's mostly closest to his property. It's dominated by Phragmites and then low marsh species as you get closer to the tidal creek. 2016, Mr. Rechtenbaugh was experiencing flooding fairly close to his home during high tide situations. As a result, he decided to bring in fill in his backyard to raise the elevation of his backyard and cap that fill with 150 linear feet of riprap revetment. He did fill about 1,250 square feet of tidal wetlands. We were not there to see the property prior to the fill. After construction, VIMS and staff went out and did some soil testing to try and figure out where that jurisdictional line is, and we came up with about 1,250 square feet of tidal wetlands that were impacted. So as part of the process for a violation, staff gave Mr. Rechtenbaugh three options to come back into a compliance. And the first was restoration of his property, which is removal of the fill within the flagged wetland line and replanting. So this would be bringing back the restoring the wetlands to pre-existing conditions. The second was on-site mitigation, which would be constructing new wetlands from uplands. And the third is payment to an approved mitigation bank. The mitigation bank in his area is New Mill Creek in Chesapeake. All of these are focused on achieving no net loss of wetlands. Evaluating these is one to achieve no net loss at the end of the application, as well as looking at the value of that wetland through mitigation. Mr. Rechtenbaugh, at the last meeting, the commission reviewed all three options and asked Mr. Rechtenbaugh to evaluate on-site or his restoration or his mitigation bank options. So Mr. Rechtenbaugh did review those options and has requested to pay in the approved mitigation bank, which is New Mill Creek in Chesapeake. New Mill Creek is a VMRC-approved bank and is monitored by federal and state regulators. We approved this bank last year. We monitor it for long-term health and stability. Wetlands at this bank are Type 1 wetlands of the highest ecological value. If the commission approves the purchase of credits as requested by Mr. Rechtenbaugh at the bank for this project, the VMRC will be achieving no net loss of tidal wetlands as agreed upon in the 2000 Chesapeake Bay Agreement. Staff is recommending approval of this project as constructed with the purchase of the 1,250 credits from New Mill Creek Mitigation Bank. Additionally, staff is recommending that the commission assess a civil charge of $6,000 for the unauthorized fill of tidal wetlands based upon a finding of moderate degree of noncompliance and a moderate degree of impact. If the applicant does not agree to pay the civil charge amount that the commission decides to assess or fails to pay it within 30 days of the date of this meeting, then staff recommends referral of this matter to the Office of Attorney General to seek civil penalties pursuant to 28.2-1213 of the Code of Virginia. And for the conversation, this is the civil charge matrix. Again, we used a moderate deviation of noncompliance and moderate impact.
Thank you, Rachel. Any questions of Ms. Peabody? Mm-hmm. Members of the commission?
Yeah.
Mr. Tankard?
Yes, Rachel, Ms. Peabody, excuse me. What
tell me how you ended up with moderate, moderate. I look at that and I kind of look serious, serious.
Yeah, I think anybody that looks at the Matrix could probably read the Matrix one way or the other. So some of the thoughts were that perhaps those wetlands, most likely those wetlands were mowed and seeded. So they probably weren't of the highest quality wetlands prior. Again, but they were wetlands, and all wetlands are important. So trying to take the two of those. Mr. Rechtenbaugh also stated that he was unaware of any of the environmental rules. And so based off of those, we went with the moderate.
Further questions?
I have one further question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Tankard.
Further, do you, when we fill in wetlands like this in a zone, that means that other people have to endure perhaps higher water around them. Do you think that'll be the case? Is that enough? Is there enough of a footprint on this that his neighbors will have to endure greater tides as a result of his personal actions?
In this case, Mr. Rechtenbaugh actually had the lower property. So his neighbor, when this development was built, it looked like whoever built it, his neighbor has a bulkhead behind the wetlands and a higher property. So Mr. Rechtenbaugh was actually trying to achieve consistency between his property and his neighbor's, and now there is a consistency between the two. So I don't think we'll have a flooding problem between the two of them. For some reason, the neighbor's property was filled previously, and Mr. Rechtenbaugh's wasn't. So.
Thank you.
Further questions? Ms. Everett?
I'm just curious, is it the New Mill Creek Mitigation Bank? Is that in the same HUC code?
It is. It's actually about 2 miles away from this property.
Okay. May
yes, ma'am.
And what is the estimated cost for that mitigation bank?
The current market rate, so it's market-based, is $22 a square foot. It went up on October 1st.
So what would the total be for?
So the total would be $27,500 to the mitigation bank.
Further questions? It's been cooperative with you?
Very.
Okay. All right. Mr. Rechtenbaugh here? Yes, sir. Come forward. Raise your right hand. As long as we're testifying, you give me the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God. State your name for the record.
Brian Rechtenbaugh.
Anything you'd like to add to what Ms. Peabody had to say?
Yes, sir. As Ms. Peabody mentioned, I do agree to pay the 1,250 credits to compensate for the encroachment. However, I do request the board's consideration for a low impact, or vice a moderate impact. In the guidelines, it lists three criteria for meeting the low impact. First one is the small effect in bottomlands. So, as I mentioned, we're the second owners of this property. So, since we bought it in 2005, we had always mowed to the edge of the lawn and where the lawn met the phragmites. So, to us, we didn't know, but the lawn actually went into the across the wetland line, but we had no idea really where the defined wetland line was. As I said, to determine this wetland line, we had a detailed survey done in which 80 core samples were drawn, and of those 80 core samples, only 5 of those samples showed any rhizomes from phragmites. And in all 5 of those, it was only phragmites, no other marsh grass was found. And that's documented in the survey. The third portion for the small impact on bottomlands is that in the guidelines, it mentions that phragmites is a very invasive grass and is considered undesirable, and it provides no value really to wildlife. So I feel that we meet all the criteria for the small effect on bottomlands and resources. The second criteria is the no effect on other uses. As you can see in the pictorial, that the back of a yard kind of interfaces right along the marsh area, so there was no other use. We were previously just mowing that area that we encroached upon without understanding that we were actually across the wetland line. And then thirdly, the small encroachment. As I mentioned, we had been mowing that area, and then when we authorized the fill, every September, October, we had just experienced very high tides due to the way the sun and moon align. So we get water really close to our back crawl space. So it was important for us just to build that up. And when I hired the contractor to add fill, you know, I just specified don't go, you know, just go where up to the point where the grass meets the phragmites, and just build a riprap barrier and level it off and make it align well with the neighbor's property. So the end height of our field is the exact same height as our neighbors next to us. But when we had that fill added, again, we didn't understand that we were across the wetland line. It wasn't until we drew the 80 core samples and the surveyor, Mr. Kledzik, drew a notional line and determined that we had crossed the wetland line. So ever since we learned we crossed the wetland line, I've been working proactively with the VMRC to make this right. You know, the area that we're going to purchase land bank credits from is within 2 miles of where we live, and we feel that we're going to fully compensate the state for the area that we took away, and it'll be type 1 marsh grass and well maintained. So for those reasons, I ask the board's consideration for low impact assessment. Please.
All right. Thank you. Commission members have questions? All right. Thank you, sir. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard?
I have a question for Ms. Peabody again. Do you agree with the statement that there was no discernible wetland line when they were doing this?
So if it was, again, it's hard because I didn't get to see the property prior. Phragmites will grow in wetlands jurisdiction and outside of wetlands jurisdiction. And so particularly his tidal creek is also fed by freshwater storm drain. Again, phragmites will grow in both salt and fresh. So there was probably phragmites there. Was it easy to see where the jurisdiction line was? Probably not.
Further questions? Ms. Everett, thank you.
May I make a comment in response to that answer?
I'm sorry?
May I make a comment?
Absolutely, yeah.
I guess to me it's a little bit of a dangerous precedent for people to say this is a low-quality wetland area, this is not a wetland, this is a phragmite caused by freshwater, and then therefore say, so I will fill it or take some action. It's for the regulators to decide doing, you know, all of the scientific criteria. So I guess to me I would propose in the form of a motion, unless there's further discussion.
Any further questions? Proceed, ma'am.
For it to be the moderate assessment of $6,000, nothing less. And I do have a follow-up
Please.
Question.
Wait a second, though. That's a motion for moderate assessment of civil charge of $6,000?
Yes, and allowed to retain fill and pay into the mitigation bank for the 12.
Let me check real fast. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Tankard. Now, ma'am, proceed.
Okay. So the second part of the motion stands, 1250 square feet impacts. Okay.
And that's mitigation.
Okay. Has the contractor been made aware of this dialogue and the repercussions?
Or? I don't know who the contractor is. Mr. Reckenbaugh would like to keep that information to himself. So generally the contractor would be here. But I haven't been able to obtain information on who the contractor was. Very much I would have.
Well, I ask you if you've been cooperative. It doesn't sound to me like he'd been cooperative in that light.
That's a good point, sir. Yeah.
Mr. Reckenbaugh, did you want to tell us who the contractor is at this point?
So I feel that the accountability is on me, sir, because I'm the one who hired him, and I'm the one who told him, you know, to fill to the grass line, the interface between.
Let me ask you this one question. Do you have personal knowledge and you're under oath that this individual had ever conducted business in wetlands or was in this type of business? And I think the answer is yes. I read people pretty well. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just feel that since I'm the one who authorized this, it's my fault.
Well, okay. I'm glad you feel that way. Really am. Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Mr. Zedrin?
I hear what he's saying, but that's not what the law is.
Okay. That's all going through my head as my deliberation is made as far as this staff recommendation is concerned.
I think we need to ask him one more time who the contractor is. And I think that'll send a message to all of us.
Mr. Rechtenbaugh, Mr. Zedrin has a question for you. She comes.
We want to know who the contractor is.
So the contractor was G&W Grading.
Say it louder.
Of G&W Grading.
And where are they out of?
Chesapeake.
Do you know the individual personally?
I had him do work for me in 2009. So I, on a personal level, I don't know him, but on a business level, I do.
And what kind of business did you have with him before?
Oh, it was to bring in some dirt. There was a low area on our lawn, and I had him bring in some dirt just to – not in the wetland area, but on another part of our lawn that was low. So it's a grading service. So I just asked him to deliver some soil and level it off.
Do you did you and the contractor have a discussion as opposed concerning whether this would be taking place near wetlands?
I feel that he knew the rules, but he wasn't open to discussing them. I was not that familiar with wetland rules, but I feel that he had probably done work in wetland areas before.
Was there any discussion as to obtaining a permit to do this work?
There was no direct discussion about obtaining a permit.
How about giving me an indirect discussion about this?
Since the work was just for fill, to add fill, I really didn't really have a concept that required a permit. Because we weren't going to go beyond our lawn area, so I didn't know that adding dirt on top of our lawn was really a violation of the rules.
But the question was, did you and the contractor have a discussion about that?
No, sir, we didn't.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions, Ms. Everett?
Commissioner Bowman, may I withdraw my motion? Upon, I guess, further questioning, it sounds like, particularly with regards to the relationship with the contractor, there was a lot more knowledge that potentially seems to me that this was not going by the rules, this was a potential violation permit, there was obviously no permit. So to me, I'm wondering potentially for discussion among the commission members if a higher penalty classification might
You
be.
May withdraw your motion. Are you withdrawing your motion? Thank you. Let the record reflect. Ms. Everett has withdrawn her motion. Matters before the commission for action or further discussion. Mr. Ballard.
I understand the frustration here, but I do have a little bit of sympathy in that. I'm hearing testimony that there was an non-discernible wetlands line. I'm frequently involved in these types of discussions, and they are anything but simple most of the time. And while I do think there was some definitely questionable behavior, if not much worse, just for discussion, I'm leaning more towards the moderate penalty.
Further discussion? Now, I think we have to be careful. You know, I'm not pleased at all with the way this happened. We have to be careful, and I'm talking out loud to myself. It sounds goofy, but that might be the case, about retribution and deriving a pound of flesh versus what is the appropriate penalty in this case. Obviously from the get-go, you didn't do what was right. obviously from the get-go, that contract, I mean, I can tell you this right now, the contractor knew, y'all knew what you were doing, you knew what you were doing was wrong, you knew that likely you would need a permit. Like I said, I've interviewed a number of people, and now you don't even have to open your mouth, and I can tell what the answer is for the most part. But at the same time, the agreement, I do find it, and I don't mean the wrong way, almost laughable that you would come in and ask this commission to reduce from $6,000 to $3,000 civil penalty based on minimal, based on the behavior that was undertaken on your property. I think that's just not appropriate. So although I cannot make a motion, I think the staff has found a suitable solution to this problem. Mr. Tankard.
Yeah, I probably came into it with a little bit more. When you see the riprap and all that, it looks so substantial in the photos. But when Ms. Peabody mentioned that it was being mowed where the riprap was, I can understand perhaps the moderate selection that she's made. So I could go with the moderate. I would certainly not even entertain the idea of minimal impact.
All right. Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard.
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Is there a motion made by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Mr. Minor. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Now, sir, do you agree to pay the civil penalty of $6,000? All right. Let the record reflect, Mr. Reckenbaugh has under oath and before the commission agreed to pay the $6,000 as well as the mitigation bank issue. If your feet get wet, come check with us, honestly. Now, that's not being a smart comment. That is being a helpful comment. Thank you.